So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, as we delve into your word, we pray, oh God, that you will give us illumination, understanding, that we hear the truth of your word and it will change lives. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're looking at the whole armor of God. And what I want us to do is to have a look at what the armor is and what it represents. And I will share two principles or keys that are very vital to us having the armor of God. So our scripture today will be from Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read from verses 10 to 18. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I want you to note this particular verse. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16. Above all, take in the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So Paul uses the imagery of the Roman soldier's armor to illustrate the spiritual resources and defenses available to us Christians in our daily spiritual battles. Verse 12 of this scripture tells us, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It didn't say we did wrestle or we wrestled, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That tells me this is a continuous thing. It's a daily battle. So Paul is using the Roman soldier's armor as an illustration of the resources that we have to use for these daily battles. And we'll go through them one by one. The belt of truth. Now, in ancient times, the belt was very crucial for the soldier because it held together the armor and it provided support for all other weapons, so to speak. We know that being truthful, the truth, serves as the foundation of the Christian's armor, the Christian's spiritual armor, the truth. Truth encompasses honesty, integrity, adherence to God's word. And a commitment to truth, it protects you against deception and spiritual confusion. Truth, the foundation of the Christian's spiritual armor. When you lie, you have to defend your lie. You know, and one lie leads to another lie, and leads to another lie, and you keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper into it. You know, when we're kids, you know, who did this? No, it wasn't me. Who that? What that person? You know? And then, but if you tell the truth, you may get into trouble, but that's where it ends. You've told the truth. And so because you told the truth, this is what's going to happen. Because you told the truth, oh yeah. And though you offended me, but you told the truth, I'll forgive you. Right? But you tell a lie, and why did you lie? Because, anyway, so you get yourself deeper. So truth, it encompasses honesty, integrity, and adherence to God's word. The second armor the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate protected the vital organs of the soldier, especially the heart. And righteousness, it does guard the believer's heart and character. Righteousness involves aligning with God's standards, seeking to do what is right in God's eyes. And the Bible says that you should guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Righteousness protects against the attacks of sin and moral compromise. That's the function of the breastplate of righteousness. And then your feet, or the preparation of the gospel of peace. In those days, the soldiers, they used to wear, the shoes were very, very sturdy and very, what I call it, hard, you know, so it helps for stability and mobility on the battlefield, you know, depending on the terrain, you know, so with the kind of shoes that they wear. So is the readiness to share the gospel that brings stability and peace to a believer's life. So you are prepared and grounded in truth of the gospel. Prepare it and get ready to share it with others, thereby spreading the word of God, the word of reconciliation and the word of peace. That is the function of the shoes and your feet, ready to share the gospel. And the shield of faith. The shield of faith is very crucial for deflecting the attacks of the enemy in battle. You know how it is when you have your shield. I used to watch all those films, Merlin.
Gladiator.
There's a gladiator, you know. There's one particular one that I never really watched it, but I think I used to. I can't remember the name again. Game of Thrones, yeah. I think that's it, yeah. Game of Thrones, yeah. Yeah, you know, when you have your shield, you know. So it was very, very crucial for deflecting the enemy's attacks in battle. So likewise, faith. When you have the faith, it acts as a shield for the believer, deflecting the fiery darts of doubt, fear, and temptation, you know, launched by the enemy. Faith involves trusting in God's promises, his character, provision, and even in the face of adversity, you know, where we say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You've not seen it, but you hope and believe that this is what's going to happen. So, and then when you have faith, no matter what the enemy comes at you, you believe and you're steadfast that nothing's going to shake your faith and your belief in what God has in store for you. The next armor is the helmet of salvation. Now, this helmet, I mean, look at it, it protects the head. And similarly, the helmet of salvation, or salvation, let me put it that way, it guards the believer's mind against doubt, against despair, against spiritual attacks. It involves an assurance of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, which provides confidence, hope, and a source of identity for us as children of God. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is one of the last armor, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the sword was the primary offensive weapon for a soldier, and it was used for both defense and attack. The word of God is more or less the believer's weapon used in spiritual warfare. The word of God involves knowing, studying, and applying scripture to counter lies, expose falsehood, and proclaim the truth. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So, I'm trying to look for a word to describe them. These are what constitutes the armor of God: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But you see, And this is where I'm coming to. You cannot wear and operate with these weapons or the armor if you are not strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says there, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." If you are not strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, there is no way you can wear the armor and fight. Why am I saying so? When the Philistines came against the children of Israel, they sent their trusted warrior, Goliath. Goliath was tried and tested. He must have fought many battles and came with his armor. But no one from the tribe of Israel could stand against him, but they wore the armor. But none could come before him. Why? Because they were not strong. They just wore it. Who knows? We don't know. They may not even have been able to practice. If you're going to war, people tend to go for training, don't they? You go for training to know exactly what to do. It's not just to wear. I mean, if I can't give a young, the little one there, I can't give this little one a gun. It's not possible. You will have it, but how are you going to use it? So it is with the armor. You can have it, you can wear it, but how will you use it if you are not strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? How are you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? This comes through obedience, through trust and faith in the Lord, through fellowship with God, through living a life of consecration. It comes through a constant yearning for the presence of God, pursuing holiness, desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. With all that, aligning yourself with God, then you are ready to wear the armor. You know, it is said that association breeds resemblance. Yeah, so the more time you spend with and in the presence of God, the more you look like him. In Exodus 34, verse 29, when Moses, you know, had spent time in the Mount Sinai, and when he was coming down, his face shone that he himself did not even know. When the people saw him, they were like, they had to cover their faces because his face was shining. Why? Because he spent time in the presence of God. If you don't spend time in the presence of God, if you don't live a life of obedience, a constant pursuing holiness, desiring and spending time in the Word and all, how do you expect to be strong? And you see that if you're strong, then when the enemy comes, you know what to do. You know which scripture to apply in whatever situation you find yourself. Yes, so the second thing is prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Though this is not an armor, but prayer is emphasized as essential for spiritual warfare. It involves ongoing communication with God, seeking his face, seeking his guidance, seeking strength and protection in all circumstances. So sandwiched, or let me put it this way, you have been strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and you have constant prayer. In between is the armor, the whole armor of God. So it's like a sandwich, you know. So you must have these two essential ingredients for you to be able to wear the armor and fight. Being strong in the Lord, being having power in his might, and then being in constant prayer. If you don't have these two ingredients, I'm sorry, you're opening yourself to an area where the enemy can come in. So you have to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil through faith and all that. But you must be strong. You must be strong that you may apply yourself anytime these situations come to play. Like I said, you know, it's a very, what we did last 2 weeks ago was more like an exercise, you know. So we just split the church into two, give them some 20 minutes to discuss it and come back and we just wrapped up. But it's a very, this is a very, very simple and short message. But what I want us to take out of this is to go, when we get home, I want us to go back, read that scripture, Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, and focus also on verses 10 and verses 18 to understand exactly what we're talking about here today. So again, the armor of God, the belt of truth, very crucial to holding the armor together, the breastplate of righteousness, protecting the vital organs of the soldier, the gospel of peace, or the shoes of the gospel of peace, where it helps for stability and mobility, the shield of faith, being able to deflect the enemy's attacks in battle, and then the helmet of salvation, which protects the soldier's head, safeguarding the mind and intellect, and the sword of the spirit, which is or was the primary offensive weapon for the soldier, used both for defense and attack. Very simple message, but something I want us to reflect on. And like I said before, it is not a one-time battle. It is an everyday battle. We face these battles every single day. Every single day. I cannot emphasize that enough. We're in a war with the enemy. The moment you give your life to Christ, you are considered an enemy. And the devil will come for you. You can't escape it. So it's just a matter of how you apply yourself and what you do to be able to stay afloat, you know, and to stay in the place of prayer.